Amen. We'll stand to a word of prayer as we come to God's word. Let us just stand to change our positions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the provisions which thou hast given to us, and we pray that thou wilt bless these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of the gospel and for the glory of thy name. As we come around thy word now, Lord, close us in with thyself. Take away all distracting thoughts, we pray. Take away any tiredness or lethargy which we may have. And Lord, empty this preacher of self and sin and fill me with God, the Holy Spirit. And may none be seen or heard this morning but the Lord himself. Lord, I pray that thou wilt fill my mouth with thy words and glorify thy name today. For it is in Jesus' precious name I ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, could you please open with me again to Proverbs chapter 10, where we read from just a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 10, and I want to leave, it is the verse number 5 with you this morning. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 5. And there Solomon says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is the son that causeth shame." Of course, we've come to another harvest time and another harvest Thanksgiving services for yourselves here in morning. Of course, we take this time of the year to thank the Lord for his provision to us, for his mercy in fulfilling that promise that he would send a seed time and a harvest, and certainly he has done that. And it is a time for us, a time of opportunity to thank the Lord and to come and to praise him for what he has done for us. And as I was thinking about the meeting this past week and thinking, where could I go to and preach from in the harvest setting a message? Well, as I was looking up that and studying that word harvest, I came upon the portion from which we've read this morning, and particularly verse number 5, which I want to, with the Lord's help, preach upon this morning. And I very simply want to think with you this morning about opportunity and productivity. That's what I want to be thinking in my message this morning. But if I was to give it a title, it would be this: Contrasting Harvest Outlooks. Contrasting Harvest Outlooks. And I believe we have that very clearly seen here in verse number 5. Because we read of two individuals and we read of a harvest. And both those individuals had a different attitude, a different response to the harvest. So with the Lord's help, we're going to think firstly about the opportunity of harvest time. The opportunity of harvest time. And there Solomon says in verse number 5 of Proverbs chapter 10, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." And as we think firstly this morning about the opportunity of harvest time, I want to think about the reality of a harvest. Of course, it's a very simple and a very obvious thing that since there is the opportunity of the harvest, there would have to be, first of all, the reality of a harvest itself. And as we've come to October in 2023, the harvest has been planted, it has grown, and it has been gathered in safely, and we thank the Lord for that. And you and I, throughout the rest of this year, in the will of the Lord, will be fed from the produce that has been safely gathered in. And right from the very dawn of creation, God has provided mankind with what he has needed to feed himself. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and the verse number 29 of Genesis chapter 1. Let us read what the Lord said to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 1 verse 29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And there we have noted that God, right from the very commencement of this creation, he had given the plants and the seeds and the trees and the crops to feed man. And then whenever we think of that was promise was given to Adam before he fell into sin. And then we think of another promise that God gave to man after the fall, and even this promise occurred after the flood. And it was found in Genesis chapter 8. So if you turn over to Genesis 8, please, and the chapter number 20, or the verse number 22. Of course, it is a portion which is always read at harvest time, reminding us of God's faithfulness and God's provision in the harvest. And of course, this promise was given to Noah after Noah had offered up a sacrifice unto the Lord, after the Lord had brought them safely through the flood and the waters receded, and Noah brought his family out of the ark and worshipped the Lord. And the Lord said to Noah in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and night, and day and night shall not cease." And certainly we know that God is faithful and God is true to his promise, and we thank him that another harvest has come and gone in accordance with his provision and his covenant promise. And ever since God has given that promise to Noah, the earth has remained, and it will remain until God's appointed time for it to come to an end. The seed time and the harvest have come and gone for another season. The heat of summer has passed by again, and now we're approaching into the autumn and then the winter months as well. And we've thought there about the reality of a harvest. God has given us another harvest, and then we see the reliability of the harvest. It has come reliably as God has foreordained and purposed for it to be. But as we thought firstly about the opportunity of harvest gives men and women the opportunity to provide for themselves, to get provision for their own physical and their own temporal needs. Of course, every one of us have physical and temporal needs. And how are we to have those needs met? Well, unless the Lord sends a harvest, we will not have those needs met. And God has given us the opportunity for our needs to be met through that harvest. But as we come to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, I want us to think as well, secondly here, about the productivity of harvest, and to think specifically of these two individuals that we read about in verse number 5. Again, let us read those words together in verse 5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest time is a son that causeth shame." Now, if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, it is often framed as a father speaking with his son. And most of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, the son of King David, who succeeded him upon the throne of Israel. And the word son here, which we read even in verse number 1 there, it comes from a word which can mean not only a son, but also a grandson. It has also been translated in our Bibles as the word children, or man, or even the word old in our English language. And it comes from a Hebrew word, the root word meaning to build. I thought that very interesting as we have come to a harvest morning service and we think about what Solomon is saying here in the Word of God. Of course, harvest time is a time of gathering in. And as we think about that word, having the thought of the meaning to build up, of course, we're building up our resources to keep us fed and to keep us nourished throughout the coming year. And we think about a harvest, and it is the work of an individual or individuals to go out and to gather in and to build up the resources and the storehouse of that particular farmer. Now, there are many examples where a son has built up or expanded what his father perhaps has left to him. We can think of that in a farming situation. a young son comes and takes over from his father, and he is able to take that perhaps as a farming business or an engineering business or some other situation like that, and is able to take it up and to expand it and to cause it to grow. And certainly harvest, it is a time to gather in what is needed for us in our physical and our temporal needs. And you know, for a harvest to be reaped, there has to be not only the establishing and the maintaining of that harvest, but there has to be the reaping of that harvest as well. And every stage of the process requires workers. Every stage of the process requires individuals to give of their time, to be dedicated and to be devoted to the gathering in of that harvest. Whenever you think of a farmer, and a farmer, he or she goes and examines their fields before they establish their crops, checking it for its needs of nutrients, its needs of fertilizers, and to plan what sort of crop they're going to establish in that field. Because usually arable farmers, they have a rotation. They rotate what crops grow in specific fields every year in relation to what fertilizers or what sprays they will need to apply to that crop, depending as well upon whatever the burden would be with seeds and or weeds and pestilence. And all of these stages of a harvest requires workers. And of course, I want to think specifically not just of a physical harvest, but the spiritual harvest. And I trust that God will speak to all of our hearts this morning about the need of the physical or the spiritual harvest, because that's the most important harvest of all. It is the spiritual harvest. And there we think of the productivity of the harvest. And it is a productivity which requires industry, or to be industrious. In other words, those at work, those who are dedicated to the work. Of course, at harvest time, the farmer, they are gathering in. They are bringing in. The word can signify, the word gathereth there, it means to gather in, to collect or to bring in that which needs to be brought in. If you look over to, or even turn back to Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse number 8, we think about this word gathereth, and there it is used in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 8. Perhaps we'll read from verse 6 for context. There he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." And there Solomon is speaking about the little ant. And though the ant is so tiny and perhaps may seem to many as being insignificant, but yet Solomon was seeking to teach those who were of a sluggish or a lazy nature to consider the ant, to consider how diligent the ant was in providing for itself. Because he says there of the ant in verse 8 of Proverbs 6, how it provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest time. And that tells me that there is a short window, there is an appointed time for the harvest to be gathered in. Of course, you know that whenever the crops in the fields become ripe, they need to be harvested. Because if they are left in the field, well, then the birds will come and take of the grains of the barley or the wheat. And even as we are very well familiar with in Northern Ireland, if the rain comes and the wet weather comes and it hampers the ability of the farmer to get the crop off the field, well, that crop will start to rot. It will start to become bad. And then it only becomes a salvage operation. And the spiritual harvest has a short window. There's only a short time for us to be engaged in and involved in the spiritual harvest for the Lord. Of course, we know that as human beings, we're not here forever. Our lives are like a vapor, as James tells us. And of course, you know that verse very well. What is your life? It is but a vapor which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And while it's important for many to be engaged in the physical harvest and You can apply that to the fishing scene, being in a fishing locality here as well, and there is that need of the harvest to be gathered in. And there is even more importantly the need of the spiritual harvest to be gathered in. But I want to ask you this morning, are you involved in that harvest? Oh, you don't have to be like myself standing up behind the pulpit. But you can be involved. You ought to be involved in this harvest, brother or sister, no matter how young or how old in the faith you may be. And Solomon says here in Proverbs 10, verse 5, he says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son." Now that word wise there, it has the thought of somebody who considers, somebody who is instructed, somebody who also is prudent. And I think that's very interesting as we think about this word wise. The wise person who gathers in the summertime, the harvest, is somebody who's very prudent because they know that that is the optimum time for it to be gathered in. They can't gather it too early because the crop is not fully ripe and matured, and they can't leave it too late because then the harvest will begin to rot and to decay. And as we think about the appointed time of a spiritual harvest, you know, I thought as well about those who are not saved. Now, I don't know all of you here. I don't know who's watching online. But I wonder, is there those in the meeting today and you're not saved? You're still rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, you only have a short time upon this earth. And I don't know how many times you've heard the gospel, how you've heard people pray for your soul, how you've perhaps had conversations with Christian people, perhaps received a gospel tract, and yet today still find you outside of Jesus Christ. And yet here is your prime opportunity to get right with God. The harvest has come and it has gone. And that's why we read from Jeremiah a few moments ago in our service. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. I wonder, is that true of you today? Oh yes, the summer has passed and you've wasted away another opportunity, another season of opportunities to get right with God. And here, being in the house of God or watching online still affords you another opportunity. And God in his grace and his mercy has given you perhaps one more opportunity to get right with him. Oh, that you would be wise. And oh, that you would be like this wise son and gathereth in harvest, or gathereth in summertime. That you would come to Christ now, while you have health and strength, while you have full faculties of your mind. You know, so many think that they will be spared to latter years and that they will be able to get saved just before they die. But what if God was to bring about an illness where you're not fully competent or capable in your minds to make that choice and to come? Well, come now, behold, now is the accepted time, friend. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And a wise son gathers in the summertime. A wise person will come to Christ now, because now is the accepted time. You see, if a farmer was to leave their crop in the field, and it's ripe and the weather is perfect for it to be harvested in, and they leave it, well then they're a fool, because they're neglecting the provision of God. They are neglecting what God has blessed them with. And they are like that latter son here in verse 5. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now I thought as well about the fact that you recently had that gospel mission. And of course that gospel mission didn't happen overnight. It wasn't just threw together at the last moment, but it took months of prayerful planning and preparation. And it wasn't just down to the preacher who came and preached the gospel and sang the gospel night by night, but the session of this congregation had a burden for the people of this area. And they put feet to their prayers and they put it out to the congregation. And of course, all of you in some way were co-workers and co-laborers with the session and laboring for that mission. And of course, they had the mission because they had that burden to reach people. The harvest time had come and gone, and another opportunity was given to people of this area to hear words whereby they can be saved. And you know, it's not just the urgency upon sinners to get right with God and to come now while they still have the opportunity, but also I thought as well of the number of young people that are here this morning. And it's good to see you all here, whether in your teens or 20s or slightly older like myself in your 30s or 40s. And here is a harvest which needs laborers. And I thought as well about, you know, the fact that God's harvest field requires laborers, requires those who are wise, requires those who are sent. It doesn't require those who are lazy, those that sleep, those that pass the opportunity by. I wonder, are you passing by that opportunity to serve the Lord, young person? Oh, don't be like this latter son here who slept in harvest time. And notice there it says, and brought shame to his family. You know, there's many things which bring shame to a family, even to parents. Notice there what Solomon said in verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 10. He says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Of course, we think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In the original Hebrew, we could read it this way. The fool has said in his heart, no God. And I can just imagine this latter son here in Proverbs 10, verse 5, saying, no, I'm not going to go. I want to sleep. Doesn't matter about the harvest. I want to sleep. And of course, that brought shame to his family. And you and I who are saved this morning, we must think about the spiritual harvest. What is your life, young person? What are you living for? Are you living just to get a good job and have good prospects for your latter years? Have you ever considered the work of God? Have you ever considered the fact that there are souls of men and women, not just in Kilkeel, but further afield, that need the gospel, need to be reached with the message of salvation? You see, God is pleased to send us a harvest to meet all of our physical needs. And there's no shortage of labourers that I'm aware of for that harvest. But you know, Jesus said about his harvest in Matthew chapter 9, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers into his harvest field. And you know, there's many things that we can do in this life, young person, but time and our life will pass us by so quickly. We won't always have the health and strength and wherewithal that we have perhaps at this present moment. I think of what our Savior said, if you turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and I'm sure this verse and the sentiments of this verse were upon the minds of the session here as they thought about the mission. And Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You see, the gathering in of the harvest means that that particular harvest is now over. Harvest 23 has come and gone. Your September mission has come and it has gone into God's eternity. But does that mean that since the mission has come and gone, you've done your part and you don't seek to continue to outreach to this community? Does that mean that you don't think prayerfully about another mission in times ahead? That you don't seek to reach out to the children of this community? No. It means that you go again. That you keep going. Because there is another harvest to be reaped. And Jesus has promised that the harvest truly is plenteous. Now perhaps there were souls who were reached in the present or the mission that has just gone past. And they've heard the word, but perhaps they have not responded as yet. Well, they need to be continued to pray for. They need to be continued to be reached with the gospel. You and I, just because a particular time of campaign has gone past, doesn't mean that we forget about the souls of the people of this community. It doesn't mean that we've done our bit and we can sit back and do nothing now. But this is a harvest which can be reaped at any time of the year. It's not dependent upon season. It's not dependent upon weather. But we must go again and again and again. We must keep working for the Lord, because as Jesus said, the night is coming when none of us can work. Of course, whenever a farmer gathers in their barley or their wheat, that's the crop gathered in. But they're not going to let their field lie dormant. They're going to think about next year and what they're going to plant for next year and what they're going to do with that field. You see, if a diligent farmer is making preparation for next year, and the diligent Christian will be looking ahead to another opportunity, another season whereby they can go and to reach out to those who need to be saved. If we thought about the wise son, the one who was productive, but there was the other son who neglected the productivity. And sadly, there are those of God's people who are neglecting the spiritual harvest. There are those of God's people who want nothing to do. That's for somebody else. Perhaps that's even you making that excuse. Well, I can't get up in the front. I can't preach. I can't go and speak to people on the doors. But friend, you can pray. Brother or sister, this is a work which every one of us as God's people can be involved in. No matter what your gifts or your talents may be. It's a harvest which cannot be neglected, because the stakes are too high. Souls that need to be saved need to be reached, and unless they're saved by the grace of God, they will die and perish in a lost eternity in hell. Does that not cause you to be burdened? Does that not cause you to seek the Lord for what he'd have you to do, for where he would have you to go, young person especially? I'm not just saying this because I'm in some ways engaged in the Lord's work. I remember the Lord really challenging me in my early 20s about doing something for him. And over the years he spoke to me as I seen people seeking to fulfill their lives and fill their lives with the things of this world. And it brought nothing but emptiness. It brought nothing but sadness and loneliness and even depression. And I was challenged about, what are you going to do about it? I have saved you for a purpose. I have given you all these wonderful Christian experiences and privileges of hearing the Word of God and sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. And what are you going to do with the responsibilities that I have blessed you with? And you know, the young people in the Free Presbyterian Church have been blessed with hearing the gospel. And those of you who have been brought up in a Christian home, from your earliest days you have heard of your need to be saved, and you've heard of the need of others to be reached with the gospel. You know, your youthful days is the best time, not only to be saved, but also to give your all to God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul of Tarsus prayed on the road to Damascus when Jesus saved him. One commentator said, he who subjects his life to the great teacher in his early days will enjoy an abundant blessing in his old age from this gathering in the summer. Again, and while, young person, you have your health and your strength and you have all the gifts and talents which the Lord has blessed you, will you not use them for the Lord's glory and honor? Will you not give your all to the Lord upon the altar and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee? Because God's harvest brings an opportunity for every one of us to serve the Lord. Every one of us has a part to play in his harvest field. And it gives us the time of productivity as well. But are you somebody who's productive, like this wise son, gathering at the appointed time? Or are you somebody who's neglecting your duties as a Christian? Are you a young person even today who's not saved? and you're neglecting all the Christian upbringing and the teaching which you've got from your earliest days, well, don't be like this second son who brought shame, who was wasting his opportunities, who was sleeping his way into a lost eternity in hell. But oh, that you would seek the Lord now. And oh, young Christian especially. But I trust that this will be a challenge to all of our hearts as believers this morning. That we'll all seek the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Because God has promised a harvest. But the reality is the laborers are few. But are you willing to be a laborer for the Lord? Are you willing, dear Christian, to do something for him? Well, I pray that you will. May God bless his word to your hearts this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let us close our service this morning by singing of the hymn 523. 523, and it ties in with what we have been considering this morning. 523, work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. And let us stand and close our service by the singing of 523. Let's stand and we close our meeting in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us, and we thank thee for thy word to our hearts. Lord, I simply ask and pray that, Lord, thou wilt write it upon our hearts and speak to us now. And may, as the voice of man falls silent, may God the Holy Spirit speak on. And even, Lord, call young people into thy service to give their alls upon the altar for God. And Lord, take them up and use them for the glory and honor of thy will. We pray, O God, that thou would be with us throughout the rest of this day. Impart us now in thy fear and with thy favour, and give us journeying mercies to our homes, we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each and every one until Jesus calls or comes again. Amen.